Brave New World.
Hello, welcome to Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. Now, today we're going to be talking about something rather unusual, perhaps, for those of you who are not involved in cross-cultural communications. However, as somebody who's living in Russia, I can't help noticing that that subject is one of the most important things that are happening in the middle of this political stuff we're in. Are we able to understand each other? Are Russians able to understand Western culture? Now, who better to talk about this than Jonathan Salway, the artistic director of the Moscow English Theatre, who is involved, I think, almost every day of his working life in producing British plays, plays written by British playwrights, I believe contemporary playwrights are going to ask you this, and performing them to Russians. And I would like to ask him a series of questions about that. How well are Russians able to get it? Are they able to identify and understand the mindset? And therefore, is culture kind of communicable? Thank you very much for joining us today in the studio, Jonathan.
Thank you for inviting me, John.
You head an important English language theatre in Moscow, actually probably the only English language theatre in Moscow, which offers a Western, predominantly English language repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in general terms, and I know that this is a difficult question to answer, but British culture made an impact on Russian culture?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here for 6 or 7 years,
okay.
And the theatre company has been running for about 5 years.
Yeah.
So I might have to look into that time frame.
Yeah.
I just started, if you go back 20 years, very interestingly, she's now my mother-in-law. I was talking to her once when I first came here.
Because you're recently married to a Russian.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and we run the theatre company together. In fact,
Great.
She's the soundboard that I go, look, there's these plays in English.
Yeah.
And do you think this would appeal to a Russian audience? But anyway, now mother-in-law, we were sitting chatting about theatre or something, and she talked about how she'd studied Sheridan when she was at university. So this was back in the Soviet period.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, my opinion then was that the Soviet Union wouldn't listen to anything outside of its own culture. I said, Sheridan, I mean, he's not completely rare, but you have to be a bit specialised to know Sheridan's work.
Yeah.
And she knew it very, very well. And she said, no, in the Soviet Union, we would look at lots of different works, theatrical works from other countries. So they had that, but not necessarily the exposure.
So we're sort of into an intellectual awareness rather than the opportunity to sit and be surrounded by sounds and movements and almost physical contact, because the theatre you work in, I've been there a few times and seen some of your brilliant performances, the actors, they're close up. I mean, you're almost on sitting in the stage yourself, right?
We've tended to use the Mayakovsky Theatre and the small venue, although we're looking to work in bigger venues. But actually, I love that as a theatre form. You are very, very close.
Yeah.
In fact, our most recent production, we got them on the stage with us.
You've got them on the stage
as well. But I mean, this idea of the plays we've chosen, we started with sort of Safe Bets, something like Educating Rita from the 1980s. But it's about the class system in Britain. And I was thinking, would this appeal to a Russian audience? It did, because they associated with the characters. They had some concept of the class system. They couldn't necessarily determine that one actress was speaking in a Liverpudlian accent, and I was speaking in a more sort of
Because you
home counties.
Played Frank, the professor.
I played Frank, yes. So it's Rita, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the initial one, and I suppose there was sort of this idea that they were aware that there was class structure in Britain, so they bought into that idea of it as well. We have then found that with Russian audiences, we can try lots of different themes and ideas. We set the idea that we wanted to do contemporary work, partly because other British companies that are coming over, like I've seen the Royal Shakespeare Company here, have brought works, obviously Shakespearean works. So they see a lot of that sort of how we're dealing with a lot of classical work.
Well, that's right. I mean, the British Council, fortunately closed now, I understand. That was its hallmark, wasn't it? It always tended to represent our culture, our British culture, in terms of our classics, in terms of Shakespeare.
And even if they were done in very new, innovative ways. In fact, I had one person who came to see one and said, we thought it was a bit bare. There wasn't enough costume.
A bit Protestant or something.
Yeah, almost like that, monastic.
Yeah.
But I think that their remit had been more to eat, so it would be bringing classical works. And I think it's such a great body of British playwrights since the 60s, 70s, that we sort of thought, okay, well, we wanted to appeal to a younger audience as well, that would maybe find some of the themes that we were dealing with or the plays we're addressing would still have a relevance to them today. But our second show was something called Blue Orange. I don't know if you had a chance to see that. And that was really about race relations in some ways and perceptions of people from different ethnic minorities in Britain.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, would this have any resonance at all? But again, it did strike a chord with people. I think they saw that as a very British issue as well. Of course, there's matters of it here. So I think that was an interesting insight for them.
But your audiences obviously understand English, whereas they wouldn't be able to understand anything at all, would they? There must be some sort of, they're already halfway there in a way. They've already studied English, presumably to quite a high degree. Or what?
Yeah, we've never done a complete market research in our audience, but you can see, obviously there's a good number of students, but it's certainly not the majority by any way, shape or form. There's expats as well, but again, that's a minority part of the audience. So we seem to be, the Mayakovsky has always been great and help us advertise through their own network. So I think we're picking up a big number of regular theatre goers in Moscow who have a good understanding of English.
I suppose the beautiful thing about theatre is the ambience and the atmosphere, because I noticed that when I go to see it playing Russian, and my Russian is okay. I mean, I have to admit, after 30 years of living here, I'm still not fluent, but I understand not everything, but a lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't get everything. But when the audience laughs, you know that there's a point there, and somehow my mind is able to guess what's happened, or not completely understand it, but I'm almost there. Well, and is that the sort of thing that happens in your theatre?
I'm going to say from my perspective, in a reverse situation, from a performer's point of view, when we first did Education Rita, which was our first one, and we've repeated it a few times because we tend to get a show up and running and then run it as and when we can. I wasn't sure in the first show, I said, do we take this slowly? Do we? What do we do? I mean, I thought, we don't want to make too many ways of sort of making it communicable. Yeah. So I just said to the other actress, I said, we're just going to have to do this as we would do it to a British audience. And we could tell they were going with us. And you mentioned laughter. That's often a very good way. If a joke gets a laugh, and in fact, the next show we did, Blue Orange, I remember there was a gag that came in Act 3, which depended on understanding a lot of the plot.
Yeah.
And this gag only worked if you'd got those different strings of the plot. And we planted this gag in, and when the big laugh came, you thought, they're with us, they've followed. Because we don't have any translation. We're thinking of investing in that and looking at doing some productions with translation. But our audiences, I mean, I have met some that sort of said, you know, oh, I was with somebody who probably got 3/5 of it, a bit more than that. Theatre does communicate through how we interact and the emotions as well.
So that would mean then, I suppose, a culturologist or somebody who studied this subject in great depth would probably say that means that the base cultures, British and Russian base cultures, they have a lot in common. You mentioned the class warfare that is demonstrated in Educating Rita in particular. But we've had that in Russia, haven't we, before the communist situation. All the way through Russian history, we've had that sort of unspoken presence of a very unequal society.
And
I suppose when somebody comes along and like yourself, and demonstrates that in a contemporary, almost contemporary way, I suppose there is something in Russian culture which can identify with that as well, without having to explain everything.
I think you're right. I mean, with that play in particular, there is that sort of, if you've got fewer opportunities, if you're less well off, or if you're born into a certain environment.
Yeah.
And I think that can be a universal situation
universal.
That people respond to. I mean, I think there's a great interest in British culture. A desire to learn the language, which I find very, very strong here.
Yeah.
In fact, the reason we started the theatre company, I obviously worked for many years as a professional actor in the UK, and in latter years there had actually done a bit of touring in Europe with English language plays in Germany and Italy. And then first came to Moscow only about 10 years ago and found a good number of people that were speaking English with a strong interest in English and things to do with British culture. But then, of course, you've got this immense theatre culture here. I mean, I would rate Russian theatre culture and history as one of the tops in the world. And vibrant now. I was working in Voronezh a couple of weeks ago on an international theatre festival, doing some workshops, and there was an Italian group there. And he was berating the fact that audiences are difficult to find in Italy. They're sort of, it's kind of a dying art form, theatre.
Yeah.
Do you know, in Moscow, to me, it seems that it's in a heyday. I mean, there's so many vibrant theatre companies working here, bringing in new bodies of work. So to that sort of cultural connect.
No, it's fascinating. There are a lot of things which are underestimated, understated. And the thing about Russia, of course, is that people don't really believe in advertising, I believe, as somebody who's tried to his hand and dabbled in various commercial enterprises and realized that advertising is completely useless, all works by word of mouth. So unlike London, where you have 10 different magazines like Time Out or City Limits, whatever they're called now, when I was in London, it was Oz and, you know stuff like that. You know.
I've had friends come here and one of the first things that strike them is the lack of advertising on the metro, for example.
You have to really dig, you know, you have to dig through Facebook pages. There's very, very few sort of published magazines now anywhere in the world, but there's virtually none here advertising things. And then you're just completely amazed by how deep that goes, that culture. Let's move on. Now, Jonathan, you also, I hear, teach theatre and acting to Russians. Now, that must be fascinating. And I'm presuming that if you are teaching something, then that would mean that the people you're teaching want to learn, A, and B, they understand what they're being taught. Now, you're teaching presumably some kind of modern, you're using some kind of modern Western teaching techniques.
I mean, I was at drama school 20 years ago, 25 years ago, so some methods may have changed, but I'm still in touch with people that are involved in drama schools in the UK, for example. Yeah. And this Stanislavski is still part of a bedrock of teaching acting skills. And of course, he's Russian and from a century ago. So although
So you're saying that the Russian school of acting is similar to the English school of acting?
Britain and America, because I trained for a while in America, certainly use Stanislavskian techniques, some of his ideas as the backbone of teaching, certainly for realistic acting. And when you think about it now, especially a lot of actors want to do TV and film, nearly all of TV and film is realism. Mm-hmm. So that it serves as a good bedrock. We were never sort of told at drama school, this is Stanislavski and these were his principles, bang, 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 bang. Mm. But looking back, you sort of think, we've learned techniques from him. Now, I use the techniques that I've had from English actors, from when I rehearsed in England and from what I learned at drama school, and employ those with students.
Yeah.
Some have said that there are some similar techniques, because I had one student, for example, who had also done some Russian training as well, and sort of said there was quite a lot of crossover. So one thing I found in practice here, that Russians tend to have a longer rehearsal process. I don't know if that's anything cultural or just a completely economical, practical.
Well, we know Russians. I know Russians are being extremely emotional. I'm emotional. It's probably why I live in Russia. I feel at home here. But I guess that a lot of Westerners, a lot of us have stereotypes about Russian literature being extremely emotional stuff, powerful emotional stuff. Does that come across in the way that Russians act? Are they sort of very good at projecting their emotions in comparison to us Westerners, who perhaps are a little bit drier? I don't know.
Yeah, there's been some very earnest performance. They look, they very much look for the truth. It can often be that sort of darker side, which is, of course, you know, an important part of the actor's process. When I say darker, I don't mean it's more sort of tapping into that emotional side.
Yeah,
extremely well, which I found with younger Russian actors here that I've worked with.
But never overall, the conclusion that one could make then from talking to you, Jonathan, is that there is a lot of common ground, that we all seem to be Europeans. Is I pushing it a little bit too far?
No, I totally agree. Okay, I haven't explored all of Russia. I've mainly been on this western
place,
side.
And I'm sure the east side of Russia is, we wouldn't be able to have this sort of conversation.
But I've been working in St. Petersburg recently. I was very fortunate to be involved in a show that was a co-production between a number of theatre companies, but including Theatre of Nations, Theatre Nazi, and Theatre Dog. So I had a chance to work with quite a number of Russian actors on that. It was a bilingual piece, and in fact also used blind and deaf actors as well. And we toured it to London and Paris, and it gave me quite an insight into working. And I did find many of my co-workers quite intense as perform, maybe even slightly more intense than I'd found sometimes British actors can be.
Yeah.
And we would tend to get a play up and running quicker over 3 weeks, whereas here I've heard of processes of 6 months. But the bottom line was, I thought, I'm working with, in almost exactly the same environment, with these people as I would be in the UK or as I had been
so
in America.
So my original idea for this programme was to ask you, have you noticed how British culture is affecting Russian culture through your brilliant work and other just exposure to Western culture? But what I'm getting from talking to you, we completely ran out of time. In fact, we're so little time that I even forgot to have a break in the middle of the programme. It's been so interesting. But what I'm getting from you is that actually that's not the question. It's almost as if what's happening is that you're working with aspects of Russian culture which are already there and they happen to coincide with your own culture, and you're able to influence the other parts of Russian culture which are close to that. So it's not like you're working with an alien culture, not like working with an East Asian culture, for example.
No, and I mean, I know some people who've gone to Japan, for example, and worked in theatre environments and said, this is completely different.
I mean, humour, for example.
I was thinking styles with that, but yes, humour. I think there's always this stereotype that the Russians don't have a sense of, a sense of humour, but they're quite serious.
Yeah.
And I think as a broad stereotype, you know, in the street they are more like that, but once you cut through it, I mean, this recent show we've done is called Every Brilliant Thing, and it has a lot of audience participation.
Right, I hope to come along to see that soon.
We'll be launching again in September, and every time we do a show, we sort of think, will this work? And this was it's not immersive theatre. It's actually, we would take some people from the audience, they have to shout stuff out. It's a very serious theme, mental illness and suicide, but it's a comedy on this. And, you know, before you go to the first show, you're thinking, you know, early on in the show, I have to approach someone and give him the role of being a vet and injecting this pretend pet I've got.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, in an English environment, I'd feel very comfortable doing that because it worked. From the first performance we did, and that first scene came up, and somebody came up, got involved, and that to me struck that the humour, they got this idea that, you're playing with us, we can play back, we're involved in this. And there were individual gags there as well, which they laughed at. Yeah. Obviously, sometimes there's ones that are completely specific gags we will cut and change. The humour is there. They love laughing as a nation. They really do. They've got a great sense of humour.
It's good news, I think, everybody out there. Believe it or not, Russians are more similar to us than we think. What can I say? I would just like to thank you very much indeed, Jonathan, for coming to the studio here.
My Spoon pleasure,
Radio
John.
In right Moscow on. For visiting us. Tell us the name again of your show coming up in September.
It's called Every Brilliant Thing.
Okay, Every Brilliant Thing, guys. I'm going to go to that and hope to see you there. I'm John Harrison. Thank you very much for being with us this week. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.